now in the studio today. I've been so looking forward to this day. I've got Suri. Good morning, Suri.
Good morning.
Singer-songwriter. Lovely to have you here. Now, we have a bit of history, don't we? Because I was just saying earlier that the first time I listened to you, or rather heard you, not listened, heard you, you had just finished a concert at your local school, Hearts and Essex. And we came and we just started, my daughter just started the school, and we came out and we said, golly gosh, what an amazing voice.
You
were one to watch. And here you are. It's lovely having
I'm
you
back.
Here. Here you are.
It's taken me a while, but I'm here now.
Oh, it's great. So what started it? What do you think started it? Why did you want to be a singer?
Well, I have three brothers and we all were very drawn to music, but we're not sure where that came from because neither of our parents are musical at all. They love music, they support it and encourage us, but we were all very naturally drawn to it. And it's the only thing I've ever really understood. It's the only language that I get. So I was very drawn to the piano. Before I learned to actually read, I wanted to read the music books. So I taught myself that way. And then got piano lessons at about seven, with some bad habits by that point, obviously, because I'd had a few years just dabbling myself. And singing, everything came very naturally, but around Bishop Stortford and that local area, there was a lot of amazing opportunities. Choirs like Cantate, wonderful school things through Hearts and Essex, dance things with Jenny Myhill School of Dance, and so many wonderful opportunities that I was just very, very fortunate to be able to sort of stumble into.
And as you say, that you lived and breathed it, so it became quite a natural thing to do, wasn't it, that to find spaces where you could perform.
It's the only thing I know how to do or want to do.
So when you left school, you continued to write songs and perform locally and also nationally too, if I remember rightly. And then you've been teaching music as well, haven't you? And it's been great for us because I've been hearing all about you from the word go. But your Cambridge connections from school, you've had a lot of interesting Cambridge connections, haven't you? Because you went to the Hills Road School, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I finished at Hearts and Essex and then I came up here for 2 years at Hills Road and just immersed myself in the performing arts department, the music technology. So I learned more about being the other side of the mic so that I could start producing and developing that side of my work. And those 2 years were just invaluable, absolutely incredible. And although that was almost 10 years ago now, my tutors have stayed in touch. And even on this current project, on this record, my old music tech tutor, Mike Senior, who's just an absolute legend now based in Munich, was consulting on the album and stayed with me from Hills Road days. And things like that have just been really quite touching, but invaluable as well. So Hills Road was a special one.
I was just thinking about your family. Your family have been absolutely wonderful, haven't they? And supporting you right through from school. I do remember your mum at the school, actually, being so proud. And when you came out, I can't remember which character you were. You were from a very famous play. It was either The Wizard of Oz, it was something else. But I can't remember now, but it was amazing. But
was that Wonderland?
It might have been Wonderland. Anyway.
I might have been a tap dancing Cheshire Cat.
Well, you had an amazing voice and you sang quite a bit. You still have an amazing voice.
Thank you.
So your mum and your family have been great supports throughout the day. So are we allowed to mention about the Eurovision last year?
Oh, of course.
Yes, come on. Tell us.
Oh, I'm so proud of it.
I should think you would be.
It was such a random session job. So I was doing session work as a vocalist and as a pianist and a musical director for all sorts of artists in and around London. And through my studies at the Royal Academy of Music, a fellow graduate was then the director for this particular artist in Belgium. And it just came about that they needed some backing vocalists to go and be quite a prominent part of the Belgian entry for Eurovision last year in Vienna. And I heard the track and I really liked it. And we met the artist in London and really adored him. Loic Nottet is just a fantastic boy with such talent. And we went to Vienna and had one of the best gigs ever. And it really motivated me back into what I'm doing now as well. Being on that arena in that moment. It was, I'll never forget it. We were treated incredibly. The whole thing was such a buzz. It was amazing. Yeah.
And the performance itself was quite different, actually, wasn't it? You were all dressed in white, weren't you? And you had to choreograph it. It was a dance as well as singing, wasn't it? And you had, the stage was completely illuminated in white lights. And it was quite new, I thought. And
that's what appealed to me, because it was very fresh with the track itself. I hadn't ever watched Eurovision. I know that's probably a terrible thing to confess, but I had never seen it. And I had my preconceptions of what I believed it was. And I'm very glad I was then involved last year, and that was all blown out of the water in some of the stuffiness that sometimes we Brits kind of feel about it, because actually this was just the most positive, loving event with people from different nationalities, different countries, standing next to each other, proudly waving their flags, just there to have a good time and to unite and listen to good music. And it was just wonderful. But Loic Notet had this vision about his craft and his work and his track and the choreography and the staging, and it was all him, and it was just a pleasure to be a part of it, because he really knows what he's doing.
So from that vision, his vision, you have your vision now, don't you? And of course you've got your album out at the moment, which is called Something Beginning With.
Yes.
Tell us that journey, because it does sound an interesting journey. It's a world, you've picked up on lots of artists and musicians all around Europe or worldwide, and getting some ideas and...
Absolutely, yeah, all over the place. I am a bit of a zigzag as a person and professionally, but that's what keeps things fun. Every day is very different, and I'm very fortunate that music is a big part of every day, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. And I've done a lot in theatre. I've worked in theatre in London for quite a few years now, and as a performer, but also as a musical director, being hugely influenced by lots of people I was working with. But I really needed to collate some thoughts and some ideas musically and put them into this record, which just I Spy With My Little Eye, Something Beginning With, is.
It's a great title. And
thank
I think
you.
We should listen to Maybe Tomorrow, which is on your album.
Wonderful.
And we'll come back and talk a bit more about you, Siri.
Thank you.
Maybe Tomorrow, that's by Siri. That is beautiful, Siri.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, I'm going to get you to sing next time, live
next
on
time.
Air next time. That's right. I lined it all up. So we were just talking about your album, Something Beginning With, and that came from that album. But just before, forgot to mention the Belgium 2015, you came fourth.
We did. We did all right.
Yeah, you did.
People liked it.
I think definitely needed to mention that on air today.
Thank you. No, very proud of that, and owe a lot to that team creatively, who are friends now, hopefully forever. They it was a good moment.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the album, because the album was made in two places. Is that right? It was made in the UK and in Sweden.
Yeah. Well, it was written, I suppose, over the past 18 months. All over the place. I actually started writing it in LA last year, but then most of it was written on a little Greek island where I spent a lot of time by myself, and most of it was written just at the piano. I only had cats for company for about 4 weeks, and then came back and actually recording it. We started it in May this year, and we were between, this is myself and the producer, were between the home studio in Bedfordshire and then in Sweden. So it was between those two places, yeah.
And Sweden, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? The concert, M3 concert in Sweden.
Yeah, the Mamma Live Concert Hall.
Yeah,
it's an incredible new facility that was built last year with an incredible lineup that, I mean, they would have had Prince performing, but unfortunately he passed away just before that. It's a beautiful venue. Architecturally, it's stunning. And this is the first album to have been mixed in the M3 in-house studio, which we were incredibly fortunate to have, because the facilities are just wonderful. And Sweden as a whole, I just adore. The music scene's amazing. The breathing space, the physical space, the headspace, it's a wonderful place. So that, I think, creatively really helped this record as well.
I bet it did, actually. And it sounds absolutely lovely, that lovely track there. Now, you launched your album, Something Beginning With, at the weekend.
Yes.
At the Cockpit in Marylebone. Bone. How was that?
It was very special. Yeah. Thank you. It was...
You had a great time, great attendance and good reviews as well.
Yeah, it's...
You had a nice time.
It's been pretty overwhelming, and I think the past few days have been just trying to kind of recover from that. But I had a wonderful band that joined me on the night that just really cared about it, and I'm so grateful to them and everyone off stage, all the tech, backstage, just everyone... really brought it all together, and hopefully we'll do many, many more of those.
So for the future, what's going on? Of course, you are concentrating on your debut album.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that people cannot believe this is your debut album because it is that good.
Oh, thank you.
And as I said, your voice is incredible. I love your voice.
Thank you, Susie.
It is absolutely gorgeous. So tell us what's happening. What's happening after this? Where are you all going? Where are you going to promote some of your music?
Well, I'm actually back. I'm headlining at the Acoustic Club back in Bishop Stortford. Bit of a nostalgic blast from the past, but they're kindly having me back to headline next Thursday, the 15th. So I will be there. And then in the new year, there will be lots more live events that I will then post up on all of the social media platforms and festivals as well. One that has just come in actually is a Cambridge-based festival in June, Fusion, I think on the 24th of June. So I can come back and talk about that another time when we've got that kind of locked in. But the Surrey official social media pages will have sort of lots of information over the next few months. And the album's out on Spotify and iTunes, Apple Music, wherever people get their music, Google Play, Deezer, I don't know. They can just listen to it, let us know their thoughts. It'd be lovely to know what people are thinking about it.
Just one question. When you're not playing music, when you're not living and breathing it, what do you do? What makes you switch off? What could make you switch? A cup of coffee or maybe you're laughing and smiling?
I literally have no idea what else I do. I don't do anything else. I should learn to cook.
Okay.
I should learn to drive.
You can get
These
away with that
shoulds,
one.
Because I still can't do it.
That's fine.
What else do I do? I mean, I can, if I really commit to it, I can watch The West Wing, like the box set, in 2 days. I mean, I can commit to that.
I can relate to that one.
But yeah. Travel, I think that's my thing.
Well,
I love to move around, see the world.
You're doing a lot of that and you're performing and we're getting to hear you and it's wonderful. Suri, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best